This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, how are you? How are you doing? How's your week been? What's it like over in your world?
My world's pretty good. The weather's great. The week's been fine. About to go on a great trip in a few weeks, but we have Easter first. I don't know. Life's okay. How about you?
Life is great. We are getting ready. We're going back to Michigan for Easter so the kid can do the egg hunt, celebrate with her cousins. That's going to be like our new holiday that we go for every year. And fun. I got a stomach full of Taco Bell. I'm ready to rock.
Yeah.
Talk about some true crime. And also, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I had some Taco Bell. Our story tonight involves some fast food. So we've kind of got a little theme here going. So I'm, you know, really kind of excited to get into it and break it down.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm kind of short on time. So if you want to just get started.
Well, I mean, I'm short on time too. And I'm sure our listeners are short on time. And last week we talked about a chicken a whole bunch. So we should probably just jump into it. So what do you say? Should we just go ahead and break it down?
I think so.
All righty. So for this week's short on time, we are heading to Parma, Ohio. On September 5th, 2023, 26-year-old Emily Russell was working at a local Chipotle restaurant. Emily was a store manager, and she had been employed with the chain for 4 years. For Russell, it was just another normal shift on a normal day. That is until 39-year-old Rosemary Hain entered the store. Hain waited in line and ordered a burrito bowl. But when she received her food, she was not happy with the way it looked, so she asked for it to be remade, which the workers in the restaurant gladly did. But still, Hain was unhappy and demanded that the staff remake it a second time. And again, the staff obliged, even offering extra protein and other freebies for the issue. Hain then took the burrito bowl and left the store. But only a few minutes later, the angry customer walked back inside, and she was now irate, screaming at a 17-year-old cashier about the quality of her food. It was then that Emily Russell stepped in. She was concerned about her employee and the rage coming at the teenager. Again, Hain screamed and complained about the quality of her burrito bowl. Russell explained that the food had already been remade twice, but Hain continued. Then, Emily Russell simply told Hain to have a nice day. And that is when Rosemary Hain snapped, throwing the burrito bowl into the manager's face. Rosemary Hain then pushed past customers trying to stop her, walked to her car, and left. But what Hain didn't know is that the entire interaction had been caught on camera by another patron in the restaurant. Now, this time, another customer followed Hain outside and got her license plate number. They then called 911 and reported the incident. Now, Olivia, something to keep in mind, right? When you work at Chipotle, all that stuff's on a line. It's kept extremely warm because, you know, you're scooping it out, right? It's got to be kept pretty hot.
Right.
This means that the food that was thrown in Emily's face was nearly 200 degrees. So when you think about taking a burrito bowl to the face at 200 degrees, it's pretty hot.
That's pretty hot. I mean, just think about when you take a bite of food that's so hot and you can't like get it out of your mouth and you're just like, hot, hot, hot.
You see the steam coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So taking that to the face. And at the time, there was no one to relieve her from her shift. So she was forced to continue to work the remaining 4 hours with food in her hair and burns on her face. After, she would go to the emergency room for treatment. Now, Rosemary Hain was not hard to find. Along with her license plate, the name on her receipt read Rosie, and it included her phone number at the top. She was arrested at her home only 7 minutes after the incident.
I think this is probably our record for the quickest arrest for all the cases we've done, I would think. I think so.
Yeah, 7 minutes is pretty quick.
That's pretty fast. You could barely get home from the drive-thru, from the Chipotle.
Yeah. Also, you got to think about your actions when you're leaving your name and your phone number at the scene of the assault. You know what I mean? Now, Hain told officers that she had been having a really bad day and she knew that she was wrong for what she had done. Now, normally, Olivia, this isn't the type of case that we would cover on this podcast, right? But especially after doing the Little Rascals bank robbers last week, I was like, let me see if I can find something, you know, a little more interesting. Yeah. But it's also the sentencing that made this story a little different for me. So at the trial, Rosemary Hain pled guilty to misdemeanor assault. However, she told Judge Timothy Gilligan that if he saw the food that she was given, he'd probably be upset too. But the judge didn't agree, telling Hain, I bet you won't be happy with the food you're going to get in jail.
That is a burn from the judge. I mean, she's not. If you're not happy with the Chipotle you're getting, you're certainly not going to like your food in jail.
Oh, yeah. And there's like video of the sentencing too. And he's just like, are you kidding me?
Like why am I doing this case?
Right. He also continued, this is not the Real Housewives of Parma. This behavior is unacceptable. Now, sentencing would be handed down on December 6, 2023. Originally, Hain was sentenced to pay a fine and spend 180 days in jail. But then the judge had a change of heart. Judge Gilligan offered Hain 60 days off of her jail sentence if she would work in fast food for another 60 days. What? Giving her a chance to walk in Emily's shoes. So I was like, okay, that's a pretty interesting. She still has to pay the fine. She still has to do 60 days in jail. But, you know, if you want to cut some of that time off, you can go work in fast food for 60 days. And Hain accepted the deal. Now, Emily Russell was very happy with the sentence handed down by Judge Gilligan, saying she's going to learn a lot. She didn't get a slap on the wrist. And she's going to work in fast food and hopefully it will be good. Now, Emily Russell quit her job at Chipotle a month after the incident, and she's now employed at a different restaurant. Again, I wanted to cover this story because of the unique sentencing, but also a recent survey of fast food workers show that 6 in 10 employees have witnessed a violent incident within the last year. So I thought that statistic was very interesting, right? Like if you work in fast food,
that's 60%.
Yeah, you're almost going to see the chances of you seeing a violent incident are pretty high. So that's this week's case. I really thought it was a good example of just someone entitled just getting what was coming to them. And again, I think that sentencing was perfect. But what do you think? Where's your head at? What do you got?
I like the wittiness of the judge, if I'm being honest. But, you know, I am not really a complainer when it comes to food. Like I could eat just about anything. So I guess that's probably why. But like the only thing that I ever really send back is if like I order a steak a certain way and it's either overcooked or not cooked enough. And even if it's overcooked, I usually just suck it up and eat it. But like if it's like really mooing on the plate and I just needed like give it like another minute each side, then I'll send that back. But you know how many times I go to Taco Bell and my bean burritos have the driest, hardest beans in them. And I go home and I'm so mad. And I want to tell them off, but I don't. I just sit there and I eat my food and move on with my life.
So all I heard from that story is that you're rich and you order steak places. That's
I mean, did you watch Married at First Sight, John? Right. Come on.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, got that reality TV money, get the steaks on the plate. No.
Right. All that money.
No, but I'm with you. I normally am not a complainer. Now, I'll complain in the car, right? If my food is taking 100%. Too long, I'll have the wind. I'm like, you know. But even that, like, I've worked. I mean, I delivered pizzas for, like, 10 years. I've worked in roasted chicken restaurants. I've worked at, like, you know, worked in bars. And I've worked in a lot of different places in the food industry. And so, like, I have a lot of compassion for that. I will say I did have the cops called on me at a Taco Bell restaurant while my band was on tour. But
What was your band? Let's just say, what were your bandmates doing? I know little Johnny Boy wasn't doing anything wrong.
It was me. I was inside the wind, like walked up to the drive through window and half of my body was inside. Like my feet weren't touching the ground and I'm screaming. But
why?
The reason for it is we're in a band, right? So there's the four dudes in the band plus our merch guy. There's five of us in a band. And we're driving through. It's like 11:30 at night. We got the van. We got the trailer. We're poor kids. We made enough money that we could be like, we're going to eat Taco Bell tonight. Like, right. Awesome. So we roll up, we order the food or whatever. I think I got like two tacos and like a crunch wrap, some whatever it was at the time. And they didn't give me one of my things. And so we like pulled off and I just, you know, walked back. I was like, hey, you know, here's the receipt. We ordered this and I didn't get this. And they were like, no, you got it. They basically telling me I was a liar and I was trying to scam free food. And one thing I am not is a liar. And so I was like, I'm telling, and they just kept telling me that I was lying. And it was the principal where I was just, I just lost it.
You're not listening to me. Yeah.
I was like, I'm only asking for one. And then they closed the window on me.
Oh no.
And like, I'm standing at the, you know, at the drive thru and I just lost it. So I like took it and I pried it open and then it's on tape somewhere. Cause you know, we record everything. But it's just me hanging inside. I want the owner's phone number. I just lost my mind because, you know, we've been playing shows.
TikTok and all those things didn't exist back then, John.
Yeah, well, the cops came and they were like, so what's going on? I was like, dude, I ordered something. I paid for it. They didn't give it to me. They're telling me I'm lying. And he was like, you guys in a band? And we're like in Illinois, like the middle of nowhere. And we're like, yeah. And he's like, let me hear your music. And so like, we're just hanging out with this cop. No, we played it. We played it and we were hanging out with him and like played it in the parking lot. And he was like, all right, let me go talk to him. And he came back with two of the things that I ordered. But like, I just had him remake it and give him like, whatever, here's an extra one. But I lost my mind. However, I've never been like rude to someone. You know what I mean? I just won't go back. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not going back to this yeah. restaurant. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I don't know. Have you ever freaked out anywhere? Have you ever had like a, even like back in the day, have you ever had like Olivia Burger King freak out or something?
No, I don't think so. And if any of my friends are listening and they recall one that I don't recall, please, please send me a text message and let me know. But I don't think so. I'm usually pretty pleasant in restaurants. Like I said, even if it's the wrong thing, I'll eat it. I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And it's not the waiter's fault.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess when you start thinking about what people are making, you know? Yeah. Or like if you, especially now, if you go out to a restaurant now, like you're going to wait. Yeah. Everywhere is short staffed. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you're expecting stuff like right away or super quick, like, I don't know.
It doesn't what work thinking. Like the world's not like that anymore.
Right. So I did want to throw this out though, too, because I thought this would be interesting for our listeners and we'll get into like the Debol test and all that. But like, I thought it'd be really interesting because we have a lot of people who listen to the show with a lot of different backgrounds. I want to hear from you. I want you to leave us voicemails or like write on the Facebook page or send us stuff. If you have worked in fast food and witnessed a freak out, or if you yourself had a fast food freak out,
no judgment. If it's funny, just let us know.
Yeah, please. No judgment. We're not hating on anybody, but we would love to have them. I would love to do a whole episode. That's just about restaurant. Everybody's story. Just everybody's stories. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, everybody has a past. There's no judgment here. Let them out. Let them all out. Tell us the stories.
Or, I mean, if you've just been working somewhere and someone's acting like this to you, you know what I mean? Like, let us know. We'd love to hear them. But if we're talking deadbolt test, I have a feeling this is you know, pretty low. But what are you thinking? Where are you at?
I mean, I like the judge's creativity. So the case overall, I will do a 4. And I'm basing it overall, the overall case. I'm not going to go check my lock, so it's not really scary, but a 4. I don't really have an explanation. I just like the wittiness of the judge.
Yeah, you say a 4 now, but you wait until I get on a plane and I ring your doorbell and I just got a burrito bowl in my hand.
Please show up at my house with Chipotle.
It's a 7 now.
Better yet, can you go to Felipe's? I like Felipe's here in New Orleans, kind of similar concept.
Better, I've never been. Better. Never been to Felipe's.
I think it's just here.
But there was another one. There's another place like that in Michigan that I remember liking.
There's an Izzo's. There was a Freebird or something.
We have Moe's.
And Moe's Southwest. There's a couple of them.
I stopped messing with Moe's because it gave me food poisoning. I was like, can't do it. And then back in the day, I remember Chipotle had that like...
some outbreak or something.
Salmonella outbreak or something. Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten Chipotle since then. I like Felipe's. We have Felipe's here.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think deadbolt test for me, I think just because I've worked in food, like I've got like crazy pizza delivery stories and all sorts of stuff. So like I think for me, I would probably put this at about a 4 as well, just because I understand that people can be insane. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to their food. But I was really happy that the judge was like, I could put you in jail or I could show you what it's like to like live the life of a person that you just decided you were going to berate. And like, can you imagine how embarrassed you'd be if it was a restaurant mm-hmm. full of people and you just got like black beans and adobo chicken, like hanging out your hair for 4 right. hours, you know?
Like, yes, I got a burrito bowl to the face. Move on.
Right. On camera, sour cream, on the internet.
Cheese, pico.
Yeah, because the video went viral as well. So this girl,
I'm gonna have to watch the video.
This girl's on the internet forever getting a burrito bowl in the face. You know what I mean? So I will say her friend started a GoFundMe for her. The last I saw, it was like up to like almost $8,000. So, you know, hopefully that helps a little bit. But I don't know. I think this the same kind of thing. I think for me, this is way more interesting than it was maybe terrifying. But yeah. Thought it'd be fun to talk about and have good discussion on. So,
I mean, not every case we do has to be a murder. It's true crime. True crime is a crime.
Yeah.
True real life reality assault. Crime.
Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test. Olivia and I are both locking it in at 4s, but we want to hear from you. Please, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the locksmiths. Where does the flying burrito bowl assault of Emily Russell fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, well, why don't you skedaddle, mosey, wander on over, come hang out with us. We'd love to get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. Just say, hey, and again, we really do want to hear your story. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, let us know your fast food nightmare. That is checkthelockspod.com. Click the little microphone link. We would love to hear from you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do that by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great benefits, a lot of exclusive tiers. We got stickers, t-shirts, coffee mugs, all sorts of stuff you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to throw us a couple bones, help us keep the light on, you know, running a podcast. We need air. We need cooling. I need Wi-Fi connection to talk to Olivia. Patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And listen, if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out, sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're listening, you're telling people to check it out, just know we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. Again, we just want to grow this community, this awesome family of true crime listeners and enthusiasts, and just, you know, have more opportunities to spend time with y'all. So if you're sharing this, just know we appreciate it so much. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with a brand new, truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks
and your burrito bowls or the box. We'll see you next week.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit yvaccines.com.